Provide the source for annual health fair screenings each fall for TOLE employees that include cholesterol and blood glucose screenings, blood pressure monitoring, and flu vaccinations. This service enables TOLE employees to make informed decisions about maintaining their health. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Advocate Health and Hospitals Corporation, in an amount not to exceed $65,100. The second item is an award of a TOLE request for proposal to purchase drug and alcohol testing services. The TOLE is required by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to provide post-accident, random screening, reasonable suspicion, and follow-up drug and alcohol testing services. Award is recommended to MedTox Laboratories Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $60,000. Third item is an award of a TOLE request for proposal to purchase hearing officer services. These hearing officers conduct and decide administrative hearings over contested TOLE violations. The TOLE is required to appoint independent attorneys through the competitive procurement process to serve as hearing officers on contested violations. Award is recommended to a pool of 15 vendors in a total amount not to exceed $399,000. The fourth and final item is a TOLE sole source to purchase building automation maintenance services. This contract provides source for scheduled maintenance by specially trained technicians, engineers, and mechanics to conduct the necessary tasks needed to ensure that the building control equipment is properly maintained. The award is recommended to Precision Control Systems of Chicago Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $100,000.
On the item number three, the attorneys that we hired, is that an annual? Is that annually we go out and hire? Or is this a contract for
this is for a four-year term.
It's a four-year term.
That's correct, yes.
And that's their fees. And then all these attorneys, were they vetted or they're all in compliance, ARDC?
That's correct. And they have to be in good standing in the last 5 years as well.
Okay.
And how does that request go out for proposal to these?
I'm sorry.
How does that request go out for proposal?
Sure. We issued an RFP to the public. We did some outreach. Basically, there was a whole bunch of mandatory requirements that these individuals or businesses had to meet. ARDC registered, good standing in the last 5 years. There were some others, but if you didn't meet any of those qualifications, we just disqualified you. But all of them did meet those minimum requirements.
But it was posted, if we could just be a little more specific about it was posted.
Yes, it was competitively posted on our procurement bulletin.
And the outreach we did was to...
We did some outreach to DBE firms and the BEP database that CMS has control of.
With that one DBE firm that is being awarded here, it's about 15.
No, I believe there's
14% is BEP.
Right, there's a couple individuals
that are non-minority female companies. Correct?
That is correct.
No African American and no Latino law firms in this 15?
No, there isn't. But again, we did do outreach to the whole BEP directory of all the registered entities. So we did inform.
Did we put it on, did we advertise through the law?
Yes.
State law?
The Illinois State Bar Association.
Right. Thank you, Mike.
What's the commitment, the time commitment, and how are the hearing officers, who coordinates this program, and what's the commitment of time for them during the year?
Sure. Right now, since the whole backlog has been settled, there's about one hearing a month, one to two hearings a month that take place. We have two hearing officers. We schedule it based on their schedules and availability. The reason why I have two hearing officers, one serves as a backup, but for the person who's not conducting the live hearings, they're the ones that are processing all the hearings that are filed by mail. So this is not that much of a time commitment, just about once to twice a month to handle all these contested violations.
Is that the annual salary you receive, whether they...
No, that amount, the $26,600 for each individual for the whole term in 4 years. That's the
also for all 4 years?
Yes, that's correct.
Up to those amounts, then they would be on rotation.
Correct.
Be used.
Yes, thank you. If I could chime in, Christie's last point is critical, because I think a few moments ago you said those are their salaries, and they're absolutely not. Those are up to a maximum.
Okay.
As I understand it, very rarely do we have attorneys actually get those levels.
Okay. About how many hearings do we hear a month?
One to two.
One or two hearings?
Yes, one to two hearings a month.
That's correct. So there's about 24 hearings in a year?
Yeah, I think that's very similar.
Well, there's
violations.
There's also by mail. Mike, if you want to chime in.
Yeah, I'm Mike with the telegram at the Business Institute. IPAS monitors this. Just to clarify, the actual hearing dates are about once or twice a month. The total number of hearings, we have about 125 in-person individual cases.
Per month?
And about 725 are processed through mail.
125 per month?
725 through mail.
And if they're Spanish-speaking people, is there some interpreters there at these hearings? Seeing that none of these are Hispanic lawyers.
We do have individuals available in our call center that will translate it if required. And that has been the case. So if somebody who is Spanish-speaking does need somebody to interpret, they just grab somebody from the business center and they will do the translation.
Would you like us to take in, is there an assessment that we should be doing to make sure that that's adequate or with the volume of multilingual or bilingual need is?
Where these hearings take place?
Right here in our building on the north end, first floor.
Right here?
Yes.
If I may, I could add a couple pieces for context. First thing is, we do have multilingual customer service reps that can assist, but because of the nature of this, we advise directly to any violator or any patron that wants to dispute this that they should bring their own independent translator, because we don't want to be perceived as biasing the hearing process. So if we are the interpreter and we're the party trying to administer the violation, it may be perceived as a bias. So we do specifically advise that anybody who needs a translator to bring their own. The other piece of that is, I don't have the exact numbers on who comes to hearings, but at our call center, about 4% of our calls are Spanish speaking, and we do have staff there continuously to help with that. So it may translate that 4% of these are also Spanish speaking or multilingual. But we don't have specific data.
Any other questions? Do you want to take these items individually or take them one, two, four all together?
Individually, please.
Okay. Item number one, Board of Contract Advocate Health and Hospital Corporation. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion made.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays. Motion passes. Consent. Item number two. There are motions for the award of contract for MedTax Laboratories.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Item number three, award of contract to a pool of 15 vendors for the purchase of services of hearing officers. So I hear the motion to approve.
So moved.
A second. I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
Opposed.
Motion passes. Moves to the consent agenda. Item number four, award of contract to Precision Control Systems of Chicago. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you, John. Thank you. Item number nine, engineering. We have two items here, two awarded contracts. And I think in the second one, we're going to, first two are awarded contracts. I think, Paul, you're going to make a presentation.
Yes.
On the second one, and talk a little bit about program management.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, directors. So, item one is a construction contract award for widening the existing shoulder and doing bridge repair and pavement repair on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway from Sandwall to the Elgin Toll Plaza. It's roughly an 8.5-mile section. This is our third advanced work contract for I-90. In this western portion of I-90, the two previous contracts, the board did grant approval to recommend to award those last month. This contract, I call it an advanced contract because we're going to do some work on there on the shoulder that's going to enable the first stage of the maintenance of traffic that we're going to need when we start rebuilding that section of I-90 next year. Plody is the low bidder. Their bid amount was $8,954,217.81, and I note that they are committing to meet our DBE goal as advertised on this contract. Item number two is our first is a construction contract award for doing interchange grading and realigning Dixie Creek on the Tri-State Tollway. This creek does pass directly through the I-294, I-57 interchange that we are proposing. This is the second tollway contract associated with our work at the I-294, I-57 interchange. R.W. Dunteman was the low bidder at $3,323,094.72, and they also are committed to meeting our DB goals advertised for this work.
Can we talk a little bit about, we've got the slide up. This is the slide that we presented at that vendor outreach, diversity outreach event that we had. This contract falls into our unbundling effort. It's kind of in that sweet spot that we've identified of less than 10, but certainly less than $5 million, and we indicated as much when we did our vendor outreach. So you can see here that also the additional upcoming opportunities for some of these smaller dollar contracts, and we're sending the information out. Gustavo, do you want to talk about the outreach that we've done to make everybody aware that these smaller opportunities exist?
An opportunities of this type, we have sent specifically emails to over 20 community agencies, advocacy agencies, and everyone that we have met with over the past few months to ensure that they know about these opportunities. So we have followed up on ensuring that they do receive the advertisement in advance, and so that hopefully we can have some of those bids coming in from some of their constituents. Unfortunately, in this one, we didn't have that outcome. I have inquired, and what I've received is a lot of apologies, but not necessarily a good explanation as to why is it that some of their constituents are not responding to these bid opportunities. Just kind of like, well, we're sorry, we probably missed it. We'll have to make sure that next time we're on the know, or we're much more on top of these opportunities so our constituents can respond. But that's been.
So it seems like we're going to continue, we're going to redouble our efforts on outreach for sure. But, you know, I do think it emphasizes the importance of some of these other elements that we talked about when we had the diversity discussion with the Finance Committee and the Strategic Planning Committee of the Technical Assistance Program, critical to get that up and going. Maybe to do something or to attempt to do something on bonding. I know there have recently been some bonding assistance initiatives that have been announced that are interesting, and we're very committed to working on that. And so, Gustavo continues to, and we all continue to charge ahead on that, but just wanted to highlight that this was a smaller opportunity out there. And any feedback from any of you of, any additional groups we can be, educating or anything else we should be pursuing, knowing that we've got some additional support programs coming, hopefully, I think will be helpful.
Do you want to go to the next item, number three?
Sure. So before I get into detail on item number three, I do want to provide a presentation to you all about the program management office. But item three, it is a professional service contract award for our program management and technical administrative services. This service is going to help us deliver the Move Illinois program. It's a 5-year contract. We are recommending award to HMTV Corporation in the amount of $69,890,000. Good morning, directors. I'm going to provide you with some information about what this contract, this professional service contract provides for the tollway. And we are taking a new approach with this contract, different from what we did under the congestion relief program. So I do want to provide an explanation of that and some of the benefits that we hope to derive from this approach. This is one of those large foundational contracts that I did mention and discuss with you all back in March when we had our board presentation. You know, when we came in at that time with the Elgin O'Hare design corridor manager, I did mention we were going to have some corridor managers on I-90, and this PMO, the program management office, is exactly one of those big foundational contracts that are critical, going to be very critical to delivery of this program. HMTB did serve as our PMO on the last program, so they were involved in the congestion relief program. We did not have a PMO office at the tollway before that program. Before that, you know, the tollway did roughly about $100 million to $200 million of construction work in a year, and we managed that all in-house, and, you know, we had project managers to do that. With the Move Illinois program and also with the CRP, we were definitely exceeding those limits. We were in the $1 billion or over range as far as delivery of projects, and that really, you know, increased the amount of activity that we had here, and we knew that we didn't have the in-house resources to take care of that all. And the PMO was very instrumental, and one of the critical things the PMO does is they know that you're going to be doing these things over and over, and you're going to have lots of contracts to manage, so they try to standardize the process and so that you could be effective at a very increased pace of project delivery. And those systems and procedure require continuous improvement and ongoing management, and that's what our PMO is going to be doing for us. So unlike focusing on a single project, the PMO is going to focus on the program as a whole, and their primary role is going to help us achieve the delivery of quality projects on time and on budget. And they do that in a variety of ways for us. They help guide the program delivery. They lay out how the projects are going to be scheduled. And we did talk about the master program schedule that they developed for us, and that gives us a high-level view of all the work and how it's going to be rolled out over the full 15 years of the program. They also manage and track our progress on the delivery of the program, so they gather a lot of information from the projects and they report to us. We do have some new reports coming out. We developed a new format. They helped us develop a new format for Move Illinois, so you're going to be seeing those reports at the board level. They also look at like broader market trends. I mean, we're very focused internally on, you know, getting the individual projects done, and what they're doing is kind of looking ahead for us and looking for market trends so that, you know, we can take advantage or minimize the risk of any changes in the market to our program. And finally, the PMO is going to help us provide information we need to make good decisions. This is a key element of the role because this is a very fast-paced program. There are a lot of moving parts at one time. To give you a little feel for, you know, the type of the magnitude of what this program is putting on the agency, it's a $12 billion program spread over 15 years. So if you just divided the dollars by the days, that's like $2 million every day. So there's a lot of decisions that go along with that. There's a lot of documentation that goes along with that, and they perform a very critical role in staying on top of that all. The PMO is definitely integrated within the engineering department. They provide services to other tollway departments also, including diversity, our IT department, business systems, and communications. So the PMO, they standardize processes for us. They monitor the progress of the program. They help us manage the documentation that we need for the program. They help guide our decisions. They develop metrics for measuring program performance, and they report on the performance of the program. So they really serve as the single point of contact and responsibility for things related to the program. When we started scoping out what this PMO contract was going to include in it, we started by meeting with all the various department chiefs and discussing with them the impact that the program was going to have on their operations, their day-to-day operations, and trying to determine and look ahead at what kind of resources we're going to need to stay on pace. And what this was memorialized in was a large organizational chart where we identified all these positions that were necessary, and then we started the decision process ourselves on figuring out who would serve the best in filling those different positions. And our choices are: we could have the PMO provide that position for us, we could have tollway staff fill that position, or we could outsource it to other tollway consultants. We took a dual approach. As I mentioned, we're looking at transitioning some of the PMO positions to actual tollway staff, and we're looking at breaking out some of that scope that can be cleanly separated without harming the responsibility and the single point of contact aspect of the PMO program to other consultants. First, I'm going to look at the various staffing levels that the PMO will provide to us. So this chart is a complicated chart, and you probably get a better view of it on your computer screen there. But on the bottom is the years. On the left-hand side, the axis there, is both the number of full-time PMO people that are going to be provided in each year, and also the number of contracts that we're going to produce in each year. The green line that you see squiggling through the slide here is the expenditures that we expect to have every year. So you could see that the PMO staffing and the number of contracts definitely trend the same way. I do, however, want to point out that what we've done differently in this is that you'll see in these 5 years that we're going to do under the current PMO program, the PMO staffing is actually going to be reduced as the number of contracts and the amount of expenditure is increasing on the program. So that is definitely a new approach. I do need to point that out to you, because that's going to be very critical for us to manage that and to make sure that we're meeting those resource needs in those two other ways that I mentioned. Either we get others to help us with it, other consultants, or we bring on tollway staff. So from this chart, kind of gives you a breakdown in numbers of the staff that we're talking about here. There are 35 new positions that we know we need over the next 5 years in order to have the in-house resources to successfully deliver the Move Illinois program. More than half of those positions are going to be needed by August of next year, so we really have to have an aggressive process for bringing on some new folks here. In addition to transitioning the PMO responsibilities to tollway staff, we've also looked at portions of the PMO scope that could be broken out and shifted to smaller contracts. Given the integrated nature of the PMO work, there really aren't a lot of opportunities to carve out individual contracts, but we have taken advantage of some areas of the scope. And here you see that the current PSB, we have a bulletin that's being advertised right now. This bulletin kind of represents and includes some projects that we could have included in the PMO services, but we've decided to break them out. You see the right-of-way and surveying portions. We have one identified for each major corridor on the program, and really this right-of-way aspect of the Move Illinois program is completely different than what we had under the congestion relief program. We are doing a lot more, we have a lot more interaction with land acquisition and right-of-way processes in this new program than in the previous one. So we do need a lot of help there. So we have somebody to come on board and help us with Elgin O'Hare, with I-90, with 294-57, and another one to handle all the other system-wide requirements. So we also have a planning services upon request contract, so that's another consultant that's going to help us. So all these add up to about $13 million. So that's $13 million that we did break out of this PMO, or that could have been included in the PMO service that we broke out. I do also want to remind you, the tollway has had a very good history at
on their professional service contracts of breaking out the smaller contracts in the 0 to 5 million range and giving opportunities to small companies to do this work. And roughly about 80% of the contracts done under professional service contracts under the congestion relief program were in that range. We are not taking a different approach in the Move Illinois program, so we know we're going to at least be doing 80% in that range. So our approach to the PMO contract includes transitioning staff and doing some of this unbundling that's represented on this slide right here. And we see that there are some benefits that we could derive from this approach. First and foremost, we're looking to save some money. We estimate that transferring some of the PMO responsibilities to tollway staff is going to save us about $23 million over the first 5 years of the program. And, you know, we did look at this program differently than the previous one. It's a 15-year program. It has a sustained level of effort over each of the years. There are going to be some long-term functional resources that we're going to need, so why not have a tollway position do that function for us, since we can bring these people on and we can say we're going to need you for the next 15 years. That wasn't exactly the same in the CRP, where we had a big push right at the beginning in the first 5 years, and then we had a taper down, so we would have had to, you know, shed a lot of resources. It's also going to help us build up our in-house staffing and expertise that we're going to need in the remaining years of the program, and it's going to help support our succession planning. It's going to supply some new people who can move in, allow existing staff to move up, and it, you know, we can, you know, kind of insulate ourselves from, you know, being left with no resources if the PMO leaves us. The PMO fee of $69 million is based completely on this approach that I've described to you. Their staffing is limited, and we, as that one chart shows, we are going to be reducing it over the next 4 years. The approach, while it is going to be beneficial to us if we're successful in bringing on some tollway people, it's not without risk. Big programs do require a lot of people to deliver them. We're going to have the resources necessary to deliver Move Illinois projects. This hiring aspect is going to be very critical to us to make sure that we stay on track in the on-time and quality delivery of projects. Without it, there aren't many options for us. I would most likely be coming back to you if we aren't successful in transitioning some of these positions to tollway people. I am going to have to come back to the board, and most likely I will be requesting a supplement to this existing contract. I saw Mike had some comparables in his presentation. Here's some comparables for PMOs. They're not all exactly the same at each different agency, but what you do see here is that, you know, our PMO contract and its dollar value compares very favorably to what others are doing. In general, we know that program management costs between 3.5 to 5% of the total program value. That's from the Construction Management Association of America report. So we know we're doing pretty well. We know that we're utilizing our PMO in the most efficient manner, and that we do have some controls in place. This large contract, however, it's not only HNTB that we're talking about. HNTB is actually relying on several other partners to help on the delivery of the program management role, and that's shown on this slide. You see here that they have 30%, they have committed to a 30% DBE requirement on this contract, which will translate into over $20 million going to other firms. And they are involving 8 DM and WBE firms in their proposal. And, you know, that's the equivalent of having 8 unbundled contracts kind of within the existing contract. This slide also demonstrates, their DBE teammates on this particular project. They've committed to 30%, I said. There's 8 firms. 5 of these firms were working with HNTB in their previous role on the congestion relief program. They have